Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is Mraz. A national champion was crowned. Woof, woof. The Bulldogs are champs. We also have the best audio of the day, including a big coin flip era in the Bills-Jets game. It was a trash Tuesday. And I am crowned the Brouhaha champion. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
How did the Bulldogs finally exorcise their demons and win their first national championship in 41 years? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Intercepted. Kelee Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks the tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia.
Dawg Nation showing up here. The tremendous belief in this program of our fan base. I mean, everywhere we went in Indianapolis, we saw our people. Somebody told me it would be 60-40. It felt like 70-30. And I just hope they remember this feeling and understand they don't need to get spoiled.
The final second ticks away. And how of an appropriate ending is that? We sack Young on the last play of the game. Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs. The slipper changes feet, and Georgia is crowned the national champion for the first time in 41 years.
You know, the tears afterwards, that just hit me. I hadn't cried in, I don't know, years, but, I mean, that it just came over me. You know, that's what – when you put as much time as we do into this thing, you know, blood, sweat, tears, you know, it means something.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Scott Howard, voice of the Bulldogs on Georgia Bulldogs Radio Network. Kirby Smart and Stetson Bennett, the quarterback, after the win. This game had it all. Athens' hottest nightclub is Kirby. This game had it all. Number one, it had to happen this way. You had to go through Alabama, right? I mean, had Cincinnati pulled the upset of the century, did it feel right to win a natty by beating the Cincinnati Bearcats? No. Might have been easier, but you had to go through Alabama. You had to exercise that demon. Kirby Smart, last night, outcoached the teacher. And Saban has owned his former assistant coaches. I thought Kirby's game plan was better in this regard. In the first meeting in the SEC title game, Georgia came out, started hot, faded quickly, and defensively, they did not get after Bryce Young effectively. They gave him too much time and too much space. That opened up the passing lanes for Alabama. Georgia is not built for big comebacks. Bennett's not a big arm type of guy. And so once it got away from Georgia, they couldn't stop the avalanche. Last night, Kirby realized this. Said, let's play conservatively. Let's keep this game close. We'll wait for our chance late, but this is all about getting after Bryce Young And it was night and day, the pressure they got on Bryce last night versus the SEC title game. Secondly, last night is about a Georgia defense that was historically great throughout the season and didn't show it in the SEC title game, but once again brought their lunch pails last night and did yeoman's work. There was a point in that third quarter where I said, if Georgia doesn't score a touchdown, they're hanging out this elite defensive performance to dry, and it's going to bite them. You couldn't ask a defense to stand tall time and time and time and time again. How many red zone stops? How many third down stops? The blocked field goal as well. They nearly turned their own scoop and score in that early possession, the first possession of the game. The Georgia defense was lights out. Give them all of the credit in the world. Give Lanning a ton of credit for coordinating that defense. But those guys were on a mission last night. They were embarrassed in Atlanta. They were humiliated in Atlanta. They knew they were better than what they put on film in Atlanta. And last night, they swarmed to Bryce Young. They swarmed to every ball carrier. They were all over the place. And every one of them, every one of the Georgia defenders had himself a game. They were energized. They were juiced. They were aggressive. They were hungry. I loved the effort. And if you found the first three quarters of that game boring, you don't like great defense. That was a Georgia defense keeping them in that game single-handedly because Stetson Bennett wasn't doing it. The next layer of this is that Stetson Bennett is physically limited. He's small. He can't look over the line. He's quick, but clearly was playing out of sorts early. He had that big scramble early and just chucked the football in front of him. He was nervous. You could tell this was a big moment, and he knew the pressure on him. And that incomplete pass, reviewed, fumble, recovery, could have been the death knell. That should have been the nail in a coffin of a walk-on quarterback that was always in over his skis. That was the moment that all other Georgia teams would have melted at. We fought, and then here's our quarterback giving away a turnover deep at our own end. That's it. And the Georgia defense had to overcome that as well, having fought tooth and nail the entire game. But that one felt like that's the game now. This is where Alabama flips this thing on its head, and that's it. And Bennett comes back and throws that strike. The 40-yard touchdown bullet is a beautiful throw. And for Stetson Bennett, who has been questioned the entire way, that throw lives forever. Forever. He had to redeem himself, and that throw did it. And then, late in this game, great offensive play calling on the touchdown to ice it offensively on the throwback to the tight end. I love the way that was designed. It exploits the pursuit of the Alabama defense. It was a brilliant call for the touchdown. So the play calling there, advantage Kirby, advantage Georgia's staff. And then who was going to ice it? The Georgia defense, which returned the pick six to put it on ice. It was perfect. If you're going to defeat Alabama, it's got to be that way. Ask Clemson fans. If you're going to beat Alabama, it's got to be that way. You don't know if you can do it. You've never done it before. It's nip and tuck, and then you need to break it open with one big play late. For Clemson, it was Deshaun Watson and Hunter Renfrow. For Georgia last night, it was the Stetson Bennett 40-yarder to Mitchell, and then the pick six by the defense. Perfect. You couldn't write it any better, and congratulations, Georgia fans. You have been the yeah, but program in the SEC for four decades. Yeah, they're talented, but yeah, they're good, but yeah, they're highly ranked, but there's always been a but, and you haven't been able to get past Alabama. the national championship game gag, the Tua throw, the SEC championship gag, the Jalen Hurts comeback. This year, the SEC championship embarrassment. And you finally did it. And you did it your way on defense and with a walk-on QB that nobody believed in. Hell of a game, hell of an effort. We'll talk plenty about this game as we make our way through the morning, but boy, that was fun. What a cool way to end the college football playoff and season. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And I'll tell you, yesterday with the brouhaha, as you know, I laid 120 beers on Georgia. And the more that I looked at this game, the more that I felt it was Georgia's night. And the thing that I couldn't shake, that just kept coming back to me, historically speaking, Alabama getting points is the bet of all bets. Same thing in the SEC title game. It happens so rarely, you jump on Alabama as an underdog. They win outright, and they win in blowouts outright. And Bryce Young was absolutely scintillating in the SEC championship game and won a Heisman for a reason. But there was a reason that I really liked Georgia last night. And it wasn't just beers. It was beers in this game, but there were a little Wizard of Oz action on this thing too. And the reason was, it was going to be so hard for Alabama to beat as talented a team as Georgia is twice in a month. You know, what we saw in the SEC title game was not the real Georgia. The real Georgia was what they did dismantling Michigan, because that was the Georgia we saw for the entire regular season. They had one bad day this year, and it was really, really bad. But playing Alabama in Atlanta was the best thing that could have happened to Georgia, because it shook the nerves away. You've already played them. It created an anger, a frustration that they knew they were better than that, and it gave them film. If they had played anybody else, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, out of the SEC West in the SEC championship game, and had beaten them, and then Alabama had gotten to the playoff as a wild card, which they have in the past, and they met in the national championship game, Bama's winning that football game. It was the second time they played. It was the rematch of they played that had given Georgia everything it needed to finally get over the hump.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
You can always watch the show at watchda.com. That's our simulcast. It's cooking right now. Pressing buttons, pulling levers. Is Cap back in the back production studios? And so watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Or on Twitch. Go to your CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. We begin with Frank Reich on Sunday, suffering his most embarrassing loss yet as a head coach of the NFL. Obviously, being humiliated by the 2-14 Jacksonville Jaguars to eliminate the Colts from playoff contention. Here's Frank Reich in his exit press conference.
The one thing I will say that I said in the locker room is, you got to have the maturity to understand that even though there could be a finality to this season, you can't just let it be in vain. You can't let it be in vain. You got to learn from it and got to figure out, okay, why did we finish the way we did this year? And then let's not let that happen next year. So you get back up to that spot on the mountain next year. Hey, remember we were here last year. Remember what happened? That's not happening this year. That's the kind of stuff I think that we have to do.
We'll see. I mean, easier said than done. It's good talk. Sounds good. Use this. Use this as motivation. Don't let this happen again. But, woof, that's a stinker. And there are historical comps. I mentioned this yesterday. The 96 Broncos were the number one seed of the AFC. They had the Jacksonville Jaguars, a second-year expansion team, come into their house as huge underdogs and eliminate them one and done. The next year, they got the Jaguars again in the playoffs and blew their doors off and went all the way to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. So teams have used incredibly humbling losses of the past to motivate them, to propel them. But after Sunday, oh, how can you believe in Carson Wentz? How can you believe next year is suddenly a year where Wentz puts it all together and elevates his game and his team? That's a tough sell for me. Here is Matt Rhule. This was not on the Zach Gelb show, the Zach Gelb Panthers coaches show, on why the Panthers preseason, they were so quick early in the year to pick up Sam Darnold's fifth-year option.
Bringing him here to be the starter, you know, knowing that if he had a great year, that he would be a high-priced guy, and if he's a starter at that number, that's low-end starter money. So that was a decision made. It was a collective decision, and I can't have much more to say than that. To be honest with you,
I'll translate. We didn't know he was going to stink. We thought he was actually pretty good. We were wrong. We traded a second-round draft pick. We thought the Jets stink. Adam Gase stunk. This guy doesn't. We knew that the Jets quarterbacks had been awful for decades. We thought it's not his fault. He was just in a stinky situation. So we traded a 2 for him. We picked up his option. We put him on the football field and realized, oh no, he sucks too. And finally, here is John Hussey, longtime NFL referee. He's trying to flip the coin before the Bills and Jets game and tries to do it not once, but twice. He's called out by Bills quarterback Josh Allen, this audio courtesy of NFL Films.
We have a coin, heads and tails. Heads, tails, you New York Jets, you're the visiting team. What is your call?
Tails is the call. Tails is the call.
Tails is on the clock.
You're
going to
flip it.
Let me get a rebound.
Oh, no.
Tails, kill the call. We'll redo the cost.
That's a lot of giggling and laughing because the Bills knew, well, we get to play the Jets. Had that been before the Patriots game, it's a little bit more intense. It's come on, dude. Come on, how long have you been an NFL ref for? You can't flip a coin? But here it's giggling. Nah, man, do it again. Nah, man, nah. How embarrassing is that? The crowd is starting to get restless and boo. That's how it is up in Orchard Park. That's how it is at Bills games. If you can't flip that freaking coin, get off the field. The easiest part of your job today is going to be flipping this coin, buddy. Get it done. Do it right. This is a win and end situation for us to win the AFC East. Can you flip a damn coin, John? That's your sound check. George Bulldogs are national champions today. Elvis is in Alabama. Here on CBS Sports Radio. Elvis, good morning.
Good morning, D.A. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You're a Georgia fan, aren't you?
I definitely am. Grew up there.
Wow. So, yeah. Congratulations, my man.
Thank you. It's quite the double dip for me. If you remember, I called you guys the morning the Braves won the World Series.
That's yes, when I sir.
Put Pete the Body and Bogus in line about their swings and misses on their GMs. Anyway, so I figured I'd double up, call you this morning as well. Quite the double dip
good.
For me, man.
Yeah, how's it feel, man, to finally get over the hump and to do it against Bama?
Oh, feels awesome, especially given the fact that I live in Alabama. And, you know, I mean, I can't crow too much because if I were on the other side and a Georgia fan came up to me crowing, I would say, yeah, we got 18, you got 2. Go sit down. So, I'm not going to get too loud and rambunctious. I'm very happy and extremely happy that it was Alabama. And the thing is, I had a couple of really, I don't know, pretty harsh trashes for you guys this morning, but I don't want to ruin my mood, man. I'm just going to hold on to them. I'll call back later with that. Hey, man.
Right on.
Go Dogs. Elvis, out.
Right on. Nice job, Elvis. Congrats, man. Congrats to you and everybody in Bulldog Nation. Been a long time coming. 41 years. 41 years. For a Georgia program that's always been really good or pretty good to have come up short for 41 years, it's been long. It's been a long time. Now, for Kirby, boy, he took over a program that Mark Richt had brought to 10 wins, 9 wins, SEC title games, but unable to break through to win a national championship, unable to break through to even play for a national championship. Kirby took over this program. Kirby knew when he was at Alabama, Georgia is one of the best jobs in the country if you do it right. And he's done it right. You know, there's a handful of schools that if you do it right, you can win a national championship. Georgia was one of those. We were never talking about Georgia playing for national titles because they always came up just short. Kirby has maximized the program, and he took a lot of the tenets of Alabama from Nick Saban, used them, and now they've played in multiple national championship games, multiple playoffs, multiple SEC title games, and now they got their ring. And that's a real testament to Kirby, the program, this defense, this addition. It's kind of the perfect way for them to have finally broken through.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right. Send us your trashes on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And remember that we've got a brand new PGP, which we will tape after the show today. That's the show about the show. So you can always listen in. We will be discussing Mraz's payoff of the Giants non-playoff bet yesterday, shirtless, painted blue, out in the streets of New York City. That'll be part of the PGP, which we will tape after the show today. Speaking of, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
All right, DA, I am trashing a saying that, in my opinion, has gone too far, especially with athletes. Whether I'm watching Hard Knocks or NFL films or clips on Twitter, it doesn't stop with the following saying. That's what I'm talking about. You weren't talking about anything. We need to just stop saying that's what I'm talking about when nobody had a conversation regarding what you just did to lead you to say that's what I'm talking about. Why do we just keep saying that's what we're talking about? Stop saying things that you weren't talking about and then referencing that you did say them. I can't take it anymore.
Okay, such a random one. Trash them.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
So this happens to you a lot, that somebody says in your presence, that's what I'm talking about, and you stop them and say you weren't talking about that?
Yeah, my dad actually does a variant of it, too. He'll give you, you know what I'm saying? Like when I say something, I'm like, well, you didn't say it, I said it.
And now I just, every time, it's an NFL Films clip. A linebacker makes a tackle and there's a running back on the team on the sideline yelling, that's what I'm talking about. When? We have the NFL film. You've been mic'd up. I didn't hear you once say it before then. Why do we just keep saying that term? I don't even understand where it started. If you said something and then something happened, sure, then say that's what I'm talking about. But that's never when it's referenced.
Okay. All right. Don't say you know what I'm talking about or that's what I'm talking about. Or that's what I'm saying in front of Mraz. He'll be really upset.
Unless you said it.
That's
if
what
you
I'm
said it,
about.
Sure.
Mraz is Mr. Literal.
Yeah, it's enough already.
Gary Grammer.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, there's two processes, if that's a word.
It is.
There are two processes that I think are outdated. That's buying a car and getting a cell phone.
Okay.
So I went and got a cell phone this past weekend. And you would think that now with all the technology, you'd be in the cell phone store for maybe less than an hour. I was there for four.
Oh, God.
To transfer my data.
The world just hates you. It really does.
But like, why do we need to be in the cell phone store for 4 hours to transfer data? You should have technology that does this instantly.
That's right.
Now, I have the Galaxy, which I guess doesn't transfer the data as quick as an iPhone, but I shouldn't be sitting there for 4 hours. It's not the salesperson's fault.
No.
You know, but the whole process is all outdated too, because you have the sales pitch. They sell you on what you want, and I say no to all that. I want what I want. And then you have the process to transfer the phone, and that takes 4 hours. So that should not be anymore. That's a process that needs to be condensed. It needs to be cut down, and we need to be able to go in and out of a cell phone store in a timely manner. Please change that process.
Illegal dumping.
That is the correct trash. Did you stay at the store for 4 hours, or did you even come back?
Oh, I stayed because I'm an idiot.
Oh, my God. You stayed for 4 hours? What did you do?
I walked around a bunch.
Got my steps in.
I looked at the cell phone cases that they didn't have for my phone, so I had to order that separately. I didn't even leave with a cell phone case. Usually you're supposed to leave with some type of case. I waited because I thought it was going to be shorter. I didn't think it was going to be that long because the transfer process kept shutting down. That was the other thing.
Yeah, it happens all the time. All the time.
It's painful. You're right. And it's been this way for 10 years. Going back a decade, we were transferring data from phone to phone, and it took 4 hours. Why would it still take 4 hours? I totally agree, Pete. Did you have another trash, or is that the only one?
No, that is the only one right now. I probably will have another one by the end of the show.
The processes were that in buying a car. Yes.
I see. Yeah. It's totally true. Pete's right on the money on this. I don't know why. How is it possible? Like, if you wanted to back up your laptop, would it ever take you 4 hours? Cap would know the answer to this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other part. When it takes forever to transfer the data, they throw their arms up in the air and they work in the store. You didn't back up your phone. Now it's going to take longer.
Yeah,
oh, let me stop to do that every single day, get the pictures uploaded to the computer. Come on.
Right. We're spending $1,000 per phone. Can you just have one that downloads quickly for us so we don't have to sit 4 hours in this freaking old chair watching it try to upsell everybody on the next package?
Not Pete.
Wouldn't take the bait. Smart man. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, this begins as a trash of my wife, but it's really a trash of me. The week between Christmas and New Year's, we're all home doing nothing, and she goes, I'm going to clean this closet out now, so I'm going to leave your stuff. You can go through it. And my stuff ends up being three file boxes of old paperwork. So she was right in having me do it, but her job, her part of cleaning out the closet took about, it felt 17 minutes. I had probably 4 hours of sorting, going through things. This needs to be shredded. Why do I have that? I can just throw this out. The only good thing was I found my final play-by-play spotting charts from Fordham. So if I ever have the career Sean thinks I should give up on, this can go in the Bogish Museum where, this is his last Duke Freeman McCamey mention at Fordham back in 2002. But otherwise, I suck apparently at throwing things out. Yeah. I had the paperwork from like four cars ago, the receipt from like my high school graduation savings bonds that I turned in, and I still am not done shredding all of the crap I need to shred that has social security numbers, addresses, signatures on it. So this process even done is not even done yet. So I might have more trashes, but for now, get me and my hoarding out.
Okay, trash you.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
This trash, it's very close to home. This is an exact representation of my home life as well, except the roles are reversed. And so I understand the pain of your wife of wondering why can't you just throw out your papers from 4, 5, 10, 12 years ago?
But yeah.
It's a painful process, isn't it? Okay. Our engineers are great at CBS Sports Radio. They really are. They've helped us be on the air, get on the air, stay on the air for many, many moons now. 9 years we're on the air. But yesterday, that was a tough one. Yesterday was a tough one for all of us at CBS, at least all of us on the DA show. If you heard yesterday's show, you heard Mraz speaking from a drive-thru counter. He was taking our order at the Wendy's drive-thru counter. His microphone is very clearly was yesterday, he's at a different microphone today, hollow and tinny. And every listener heard it. Twitch blew up with comments about it. Obviously, this is evident. Now, I have had a set of headphones on my head for 20 years, every day hosting a radio show in some way, shape, or form. For 20 years and longer, dating back to prior to when I even had a full-time job, I've been listening to audio in my ear of what it's supposed to sound like. And yesterday it was obvious Mraz's microphone was not working well. And we knew this dating back to last Friday. And Pete had alerted the engineers. And Pete had alerted the powers that be. And the engineer came in yesterday and had to restart the computers because that was on the injured list. Because what happened, Mraz? Shep shut it down with a million different viruses.
Apparently, yeah, he had every dog walking app up and it completely shut down and broke.
So the computer is shut down. They've got to restart this. They're kind of, you can tell, that's already put a burr under their saddle for a Monday morning. And then we're like, hey, this microphone's not working. And they're trying to adjust it on the fly in the middle of a show, which I get. We're the first show on in the morning, Monday morning. That's, you know, it's tough to do on the fly. But they adjust this, they're under the table, they're pulling this wire, they're doing this, and this has been broken before. Comes out, it's fixed. And I'm almost sheepish because I don't want to annoy anybody. It's almost like the old Jimmy Fallon IT guy sketch. You just don't want to annoy that guy. But I'm like, I don't think it sounds right. It doesn't sound right. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It just doesn't sound right. Listens, sounds fine. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but really doesn't sound right. Looks at my jack and my microphone and goes, oh, well, your headphone's not all the way in. I'm like, no, it's, I don't even say it, but I'm like, yeah, no, it's definitely all the way in. Listens to it again on the other side of the glass. And I don't know what he told you guys, Pete and Mraz, but it was along the lines of it's fixed. Now, again, I don't want to insult anybody else, but I felt personally insulted. I'm listening to a microphone that is clearly on the fritz and being told it's in your head or it's in your headphones. It's definitely not. I know it's not because we had to move Mraz to a different microphone today. So, trash him.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
And we have no answer as to if it will be fixed by tomorrow either. And I have to go back to that microphone.
I am in a meeting today. We will have an answer.
I don't know if it'll be fixed.
Will we, though, Pete?
We'll have some type of direction, I hope.
I don't mind this answer from the engineering department. Yeah, sorry. It's as good as we can do right now on the fly, but we'll get a better solution tomorrow, or we're working on it. But don't tell me it's rain when you really got a garden hose on my back. It definitely is not fixed. It certainly doesn't sound the same. And it's definitely not because my headphone jack is a little loose. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other problem is you have every engineer that works in this building. that half fixes something and then fails to tell the next person, hey, I tried. Can you see if you could fix it? And now they're all frustrated at each other, and we're the ones that suffer.
Okay, so this is warring factions in the engineering department?
I believe so. I believe so. That was kind of more of the expression you didn't hear yesterday was, this went on for 3 days while I wasn't here. Why was there no note left for me from his department?
If you follow us on social, on Twitter, you saw the meme that, or at least the GIF, that Cat pulled of Pete slamming his hand on the desk 3 times. Bah, bah, bah. Because he is so upset at this process. But Pete, you had every right to be upset because we're telling them, hey, the sky is blue. The sky is blue. The sky is blue. The sky is blue. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I see orange. I don't know what you're talking about. It's polka dot to me.
Yeah, I'm very over the fact of trying to hunt down people like I'm looking for a breaking news story to try to get something fixed. I'm very done with that. So that was some of my anger yesterday. I took it out on the desk, and it was very healthy for me because after that I felt better. So that's what's going to happen. I'm gonna have a little moment, and then I'll be fine. And then they can figure out what the hell's going on. But it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Your mic is clearly broken. Let's fix it. That's it. I am extremely proactive when it comes to really like just doing work and getting things done. And when you see like a process, a big process, it's a little.
And let's not forget, mics and computers are breaking while we also don't have a working bathroom on the floor that we can get to.
Sorry, got to run upstairs for the bathroom.
I've done the stairs 3 times already this morning.
That's a tough one. That is tough. And yesterday, Mraz, when Pete slams his hand on the desk 3 times, there is this kind of like wry smile that comes over your face. you kind of loved seeing Pete get that angry.
Because I have we're going to rank all of Dave Gettleman's worst moves. I have like a ranking list of Pete's meltdowns over things breaking. And it was just one of those I made a mental note of in real time.
And one thing you did not see on that GIF was me slamming my headphones on the floor too as well. after I hit my hand on the desk.
And I also get very uncomfortable. I don't want to say the wrong thing and get snapped at in the middle of Pete's tirade. So I just smirk and move on.
That's amazing. It's like Pete Carroll getting a touchdown overturn, taking off the headset, slamming it down on the ground.
And as he slams it, I smirk. You're looking at me in disbelief, and it's like, what can I do here?
Send us your trashes, won't you? Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Incognito Man is tweeting, I'm trashing my company's IT department on the unending saga of my new employee's first 2 weeks. They still can't figure out why they haven't set up his computer. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Moist Pork is trashing the fat person in my store who was yelling at her husband that nothing was fitting him because he's too fat. Hashtag El Chubbo. Hashtag get them out.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
Robin Vieira, formerly of the 321.
Has he been evicted?
He's rebranding after Mraz scolded him last week. Is trashing Kyle in Vegas. What the hell was that? Stick to yelling about Booskies on your next call. Those are more entertaining. By the way, isn't he the dude who would continuously trash his pregnant girlfriend from the basement couch? Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Booskies!
This must be garbage time.
And Dirtbag tweets... If Kyle's not for babies, what is he? What is he at all?
Total wasteoid.
Mariana tweets, I'm trashing my baby's teeth. He has 3 coming in and I haven't slept in days. Also, I'm trashing you guys for talking about that toot jarring harlot yesterday. Trash us.
That's garbage. And we're not talking about the band.
The video of yesterday, Mraz paying off the Giants bet. Shirtless. Body painted in blue, outside in freezing temperatures, yelling to passerbys about how the Giants didn't fire Dave Gettleman, should fire Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge is a buffoon, John Mara stinks, all that type of stuff.
This team sucks! This team sucks! This team sucks! 4-win team! 4-win team!
You can watch the video of it on Twitter, on YouTube, or if you're watching commercial breaks here at watchda.com, or on my Instagram as well. So many of you guys logged in to watch yesterday's Instagram proceedings at 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's still archived there, so you can watch. Just go to my main page on Instagram, at Damon Amendo. Follow me along there, and then check out the body painting and then the execution of the bet. I give Mraz a lot of credit. He took his beating like a man. He went out there, and it was freaking cold.
I've had enough! I've had enough! Mara sucks! Mara sucks!
At one point...
We have a boom mic out there? That's great quality.
It really rattled around the buildings down there. At one point, that blue paint, it was hard to tell whether your body was blue from paint or blue from hypothermia. How were the extremities when you got home?
They weren't good. It was a very uncomfortable ride home. I wore a shirt with completely hard, frozen, crusted paint on my back that was rubbing on the shirt and creating more irritation. And it took a lot of scrubbing to get off, but the tips of my fingers didn't really come back to me. Even when I gripped my lunch sandwich, which I guess we'll hear about in a little bit, was very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Well, we've got a lot of things dovetailing at the same time here. We have Mraz defeating Connor Green in the football picks, meaning Connor Green's going to be turned into a frozen pizza. We have the brouhaha, meaning we got to back a Brink's truck of beers up to Mraz's house. We've got the payoff of the bet, the Giants bet, meaning Mraz was shirtless, painted in blue in the streets of New York City yesterday. And we have the ongoing saga known as the Hurt Journal. Now I'm going to introduce the next voice for the dramatic reading of Mraz's journal. His name is Adam Hamway. Now we asked Katie Linedahl, Katie, would you like to do this? And she said, of course, I'd love to, but right now I'm in the middle of an ox roast recipe. No, actually, she said, I'd love to. However, I've got somebody who's even better for this. So we said, take it away. So this is a friend of Katie's. His name is Adam. He is an actor, an impressionist, a comedian. In fact, he's gotten some honors from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Here is the dramatic reading of...
Date of entry, January 10th, 2022. Wait, still avoiding weighing myself, this weekend was the Titanic. Breakfast. First intake, not until 10:15 a.m. Half a cup of banana, blueberry, strawberry, almond milk smoothie. Next, freeze outside, paying off Giants bet. Skin hurt too much to properly exercise. It's all dry and crackly. Pretty disgusting. Lunch. Sandwich with chicken, lettuce, tomato, and a very, very spicy bacon from Bacon in Boise. I pay the price for that later. Dinner? A salad. Yes, a salad. From Chipotle. Danielle was too lazy to cook, and I was too cold and tired too as well. I just wanted to snuggle up on the couch. Stomach hurt. Skin hurt. Staying up for national championship will be a struggle, but I'll manage. My twisted stomach will keep me up. Up all night on the toilet. Yeah, it's disgusting. But this is the life I live.
Amazingly, Adam Hamway is also the PA announcer at Madison Square Garden. So you just had the guy.
Oh, for real?
You just had the guy that introduces the New York Knicks. Talk about you and your spicy bacon on the toilet.
It did not register with me well.
Congratulations.
Somehow that actually sounds, D, like that could be the voice of Sean's inner monologue.
It does. It really does.
Like that that sound, like if we could somehow mic Sean's head, that's the like the regular voice you'd hear. His outward voice is the embarrassing one.
If we did a Wonder Year style show about Sean, he would be
the narrator.
Daniel Stern. Right. He would be the Daniel Stern of the whole thing.
It's kind of a calming voice, a calming presence, convincing Mraz that everything that he says is actually on point. Yeah, of course it's Jacksonville, named after the Jackson Five.
Everyone knows that.
Athens, Georgia.
That's good. Every day this week, we're doing another dramatic reading of the Heart Journal. It's been really tough to top Tiki's rendition last Friday. That thing put it into an orbit that I don't know if we'll reach again. But I will say, guys, Jacob Wilkins redeemed himself yesterday. He's had some low moments. We have argued that perhaps Jacob Wilkins is the owner of the lowest moment in DA show history when we had him go to the winter meetings a couple of years ago and try to do home run calls.
And well, two lowest moments. Yeah, he also fell asleep in a chair.
Okay, so the lowest moment we think in DA show history is perhaps him going to the winter meetings. Our bit was set up that he would give us home run signature calls that he could wow Major League Baseball executives with to become their play-by-play voice. And his heart wasn't in it. It wasn't creative. The phone quality sucked. The whole thing was just such a flaming wreckage.
Bellagio in a deep left. Cha-ching! And they're on the board in the bottom of the second.
It was so bad and so uncomfortable. But the second lowest moment, perhaps, was he was doing updates for us once upon a time. And I don't know if he got any sleep the night before or whatever, but he came in looking completely disheveled. He had 5 o'clock shadow. He had not cut his hair in months. It looked like he was just wearing a parka of some sort. And he was in studio and it was a cold, cold morning. I don't know, either the heat wasn't working in the studio or something like that. But so he's kind of shivering. His shoulders are hunched up. He closes his eyes and he tilts his head to the side. And it honestly looked like he had froze to death on the side of the road. It looked like the man was dead.
It looked like the man was dead. It's a staple of my resume.
He looked like Shep's latest hostage that he had let out to come into work.
And if you're watching right now to watchda.com, of course, Cap has this on the ready. And it's the lower right-hand corner. And the man looks like Bernie Lomax. He looks dead. It looks like we've propped him up just to act like an anchor.
He's Shep's VO guy.
So there's been some low moments for Jacob, but Jacob really, I thought, Mraz, rose to the occasion yesterday. I thought he was excellent.
He was. He was typical Jacob. He seems to be enjoying himself in Binghamton, a little refreshed and ready to go when we need him, for sure.
And thankfully, they did not eradicate the Rumble Ponies, right, Bogues?
Correct.
So that baseball team still exists. I'm not sure if it's Major League Baseball affiliated anymore, but it's still a baseball team, and so Jacob's still calling the play-by-play.
Yeah, I think it's still Mets Double-A. I think the Mets now go Brooklyn, Binghamton, Syracuse, and he's also added, I believe, Binghamton Women's Basketball College this winter, so yeah. It's good to be Jacob Wilkins right now.
I think he also sells parkas on his spare time.
And he is like the Binghamton Athletics social media video guy. Like right. Anytime they need a hype video, Binghamton Athletics is putting out Jacob saying something.
You're right. The Rumble Ponies are still affiliated with the Mets, their Double-A team, so they survived, which is great. They've got a great fan base. I know we're on in Binghamton as well. Jacob has risen to the occasion. Look, you know, sometimes you need to be knocked down. Stetson Bennett knocked down to the SEC title game, picks himself up. Jacob was nearly dead in our studio. He had to peel himself off of the studio floor, and now he's thriving.
Five.
Also went to junior college. Got himself back.
And what's
a Gotham City upset.
He had high highs before he died, and now is back to high highs. He was minted as the voice of all of our ridiculous events, the chicken challenge, the wiener ships, and he did, I mean, incredible work. And so we had him locked into a lifetime contract, but he started to feel, if you remember, Mraz, to do kind of a behind the scenes of Jacob Wilkins, he started to think that by being our ridiculous broadcaster, it was hurting his credibility in getting real jobs.
Right. And so might have been a fair thought.
We would ask him to do things, and he'd like gently tell us, like, I can't really do those anymore. And so when we had him go to the winter meetings and do the shrimp cocktail for everyone, that his heart wasn't in it because he thought it was hurting his chances. Little did he know that by being the historic voice of the chicken challenge, it's like Vin Scully calling the catch or Kirk Gibson's, you know, home run.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You live forever, and it helps your legacy. And now when people hear him in Binghamton as the voice of the Rumble Ponies, they know, oh, I remember that guy. He's the guy that said, oh,
Mraz is hiding two chicken nuggets under his bandana.
He freaked us all out. Yes, exactly.
Freaked us all out.
Exactly. I compare Jacob in a lot of ways to Kurt Warner. Burst on the scene with us, right. Magical run, didn't see it coming. And then, you know, hit a lull. Mark Bolger's taken over. Next thing you know, you're with the Giants. You think your career's over. He's literally dead. And then he rises back up and finds himself in Binghamton, which is basically the Arizona Cardinals. And next thing you know, a 9-7 team's in the Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah.
Then he faked us all out.
Yep. No, Jacob is the Kurt Warner of radio play-by-play.
Can't wait for that movie.
People love talking about it.
And who do you think plays Jacob Wilkins in the Jacob Wilkins?
Bernie Lomax. No.
What's his name? Justin Long. I'm trying to think of what.
Oh, that's a good
that's
one.
That's a good, yeah, him.
That's a great one. Wow, what a pull.
He'd be a good Jacob.
What has Justin Long been in?
So the only reason why his name is in my head is because
Justin Long.
The only podcast that, well, I listen to two podcasts these days. One of them is Smartless with Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes. And I was listening to one yesterday, and when it ended, a commercial for Justin Long's podcast came on. So I was like, oh, Justin Long is doing a podcast. Good for him. So that's why he's in my head and was able to connect him to Jacob Wilkins right now.
He was in all those Mac commercials. Remember, he represented the Mac.
Right.
And then the other guy represented the PC.
Yes, that's right.
He's
he was the nerdy guy in Dodgeball.
Exactly.
Right.
Now I know who you're talking about.
That is a good one.
He is. That guy plays Jacob Wilkins. That guy does play Jacob Wilkins.
Well, I was going to say Tom Cruise, but you know.
Close.
What about Tom Hanks, Pete?
No, he's playing me.
Justin Long.
Tom Hanks as Pete Pilati in the Jacob Wilkins story.
I think Newman would play Bilotti at that point.
How do we write in Tom Hanks into the Jacob Wilkins story?
He's playing baseball.
No, he could be Jacob's dad.
Okay. Right.
He could be Mr. Wilkins.
We had Jacob's dad in studio at one point.
Oh, we did.
During the
we
legacy did. Of Jacob.
We did. During his highest peak, his dad was so proud of him being the voice of the Chicken Challenge, he invited his dad into the studio to meet everybody behind the scenes. Little did he know that his son would perish on set with us much later.
And don't forget, too, Jacob was the star, the co-star of, I think, the only segment on the show that Mark Chernoff ever liked was the dating game with
yes!
the makeover.
Right. With Shep.
With Shep and Lisa Ramos. That was a good segment.
Our former boss, relatively speaking, disliked most of what we did.
Most?
I think he was indifferent.
And I would say disliked most of what Shep and Jacob Wilkins did as well.
And the only bit he really liked was the dating game. It was extreme Jakeover when Lisa Ramos came in and told Jacob Wilkins and Shep had a dress for success.
Of course, that's the one bit he likes.
Of all the bits we've ever done, that was the one where he's like, no, that was really good radio. Wow, okay.
I believe his quote is, those two are usually zeros, but they really were great in that spot.
That was a direct quote from our boss. Those, the guy that ran CBS radio for years. Those guys are usually zeros.
They really pumped up morale.
You think he's listening to Shep shows or reading Shep columns right now?
Well, Shep can teach him about Mickey Mantle.
So. Mark, let me tell you about a little guy I remember, the Commerce Comet. He might be known to you as the Mick. His name was Mickey Mantle.
I would move.
One of the best power hitters that the game has ever seen.
This guy. Yeah, Shep, I saw him in person.
Yeah, yeah. I saw his first game.
You're wrong.
He wasn't that fast.
What are you talking about?
Mark, sit down. It's time for story time. Let me tell you about a little guy by the name of Hammer and Hank. Once upon a time, he set the record for most home runs ever hit. He passed another guy you may not have heard of called George Herman Ruth.
Do you think Shep would try to tell Chernoff about the Mike and the Mad Dog history?
Let me tell you about the greatest sports talk combo ever put together. Mike Francesa and Chris Russo. Shep, I was the one that actually made that show.
They had great ratings, Mark. Let me tell you, they were number one across the board.
Mark would purposely take a job at Home Depot just not to hear that.
Mark asked Shep to remove him from his basketball email stories and fat toys. I said, the heck with the rest of the staff. I don't care if they get it. Just take me off of this.
I did it too.
Oh, our former boss tried to unsubscribe to Shep's emails every day. What is this? Who is this guy? Why do I need to know about Kawhi Leonard's plus-minus ratio?
Why is he sending me emails about Lou Alcindor?
There's 44 bowl games. The DA Show is picking them all. On the line, the most valuable prize known to man. DA, Mraz, and Bogush in a winner-take-all. It's the brouhaha.
So you're the little lady who started this great brouhaha.
Yeah, real brouhaha.
You know what these things can be like.
Quite a brouhaha.
The brouhaha. Well, I thought I had played a perfect poker hand last night. Going into the game, I figured Mraz and Bogush, with a good lead on me, would take Alabama the safer bet plus the points. You've got points, and every time that Alabama's ever gotten points in the last 8 years, they've won and won outright, including the SEC championship game. So I thought my power move would be bet 120 beers on Georgia. And I didn't just want to zag where they zigged. I actually thought Georgia would win this football game because of the familiarity that they had gotten by playing a month ago. Really hard to beat the same team a month later, but also really hard to do it when that other team, this being Georgia, was the number one team of the country. You give the number one team of the country two cracks to beat Alabama within a month, I like the chances at least doing it once. So it's why I took Georgia, but we had to blindly bet yesterday, and I bet 120 beers on Georgia. Mraz, in a late swap, took Georgia as well for 72 beers, and Bogues took Bama for 36. Had Bama won last night, Bogues would have won all of the beers. He would have been owed 95 beers from Mraz. He would have been plus 58. Mraz would have owed him 95 beers, or 93 beers. I would have owed him 190 beers. Bogues, with a Bama win last night, would have been handed nearly 300 beers. Instead, with the Georgia victory, Mraz nudges me, noses me, edges me out of my beer. He wins 111 to 105. Bogues finishes at negative 14, meaning I owe Mraz six beers, a nice healthy six pack, and Bogues owes Mraz 125 brouhahas in the inaugural brouhaha competition. Mraz came from way back to win it. Mraz, take your bows. Congratulations.
Oh, finally, I bet one. I could freeze, but now I can warm up with some nice, toasty brews. And I do have to say, part of me feels really, really, really bad for Andrew Bogus, who tried his damnedest to bet one beer and two beers apart and ends up owing, oh, at least 10, 12 packs of beer my way in the end by going with the conservative approach. Maybe he should have got more Brandon Staley and he'd be out in the lead here, DA.
You flipped the entire competition around. When going into the college football playoff, New Year's Eve, you trailed by, I think, 120 beers or something like that. I think 120 beers you were.
I think I'm going to trail by 86 beers, and then I bet 120 beers.
Oh.
Or 144 beers, and I trailed, whatever it was, yeah.
Somehow you had trailed by 100 beers or more, and then you bet 144 beers on Alabama beating Cincinnati. Bogush and I were nickel and diming a beer here, three beers here, five beers here, and then you blew us out of the water with 144. It was the turning point of the competition. Then yesterday, you were leaning Alabama. At what point in the show did you flip to Georgia?
I would say about 5 minutes before you threw the break. Because internally,
I did like Georgia, but ultimately I said, you know what, how am I going to go against Saban? And then I said, aha, but let me get inside the heads of Bogus and DA and see what they're thinking. And I knew. I said, DA is going to go over 100 beers. He has to. And he's going to think we're going to take Bama. So I'm blocking DA. I'm not going to let him get inside my head and think he knows what I'm thinking. I'm going to know what he's thinking. And I thought right.
How did you choose the number of beers?
Well, I quickly did a math, and I knew, stunned to a math, I knew that I led you by somewhere along the lines of between your negatives and my positives, about 55 beers. So I said, if he's going to go over 100 here, I need to make sure that 55 plus what I'm betting gets me at least near the ballpark where I'm not going to lose to you. So I threw a dart and I tried to add up 12 packs. And I knew if I got to that was 6 12 packs worth, that I guess I'd be willing to lose the other way to Bogus. But I knew that probably that number would get me near where you were betting, and I was not going to lose that to you.
Look, it was a masterstroke. I can only tip my hat at a great competitor. I thought I had this thing. I'm kicking myself for not betting more beers, because had I just bet 130 beers instead of 120 beers, I would win them all. And I'm just like, I was confident in the Georgia pick. I thought I was going against the grain with you guys, and it just took a little bit more stones. I figured 120 beers, how many more can I bet? But I should have done 130, 140, 144. Could have done 200 and would have just racked up. Instead, I fall 6 beers short of you. And so I owe you the 6-pack. Bogues, you owe so many beers. Mm. How did you feel as you were watching last night's game unfold?
Well, I mean, I felt pretty good for 75% of the game. I was sitting pretty. And then all of a sudden, it was all gone. And I played this entire thing to avoid what ended up happening in reality. Like, the one thing I don't mind losing, because this is not, I knew I was probably going to lose anyway, because I don't bet regularly. This is not a common thing for me, and I've battled the strategy part of it the entire time. So I was not confident ever, and my fear always was not losing by too many, and I lost by too many. And now I got to pay Sean in basically a truckload of beers.
So now you owe him 125 beers. Mraz, did you say there was a christening or a birthday party?
We haven't booked it yet, but Peyton, we are planning on christening her in May. So, you know, obviously some family, hopefully things clear up. We can get a bunch of people at the house to do this. Obviously, I'm going to serve some beer. And what better way to take care of the beer than making sure I get all of that covered by Bogus? The one bet my wife will be happy to hear I won is knowing, you know, a good chunk of the alcohol portion of this party will be paid for by Andrew Bogus.
I'm the open bar at a party I'm not going to be invited to.
Maybe we'll have to send you one. Maybe.
Why don't, Bogues, you and I go to this birthday party or this christening?
It's a christening. How many times are you going to ask if it's a birthday party?
And why don't we try to drink as much of the beer as possible so that at least you didn't just buy it just for Mraz?
I mean,
I could probably take down 15 to 18 beers.
I mean, let's be honest. We've got a team of Sean's friends. We could all drink that before Sean has a chance to get near a cooler that day.
I'll make you a deal. You guys can come, not bring a gift for my daughter at all, and bring the beer and drink as much beer as you want if you two bartend the whole party.
I'll come
to that.
Nobody's got to worry about serving themselves a beer or a drink. You two sit behind Bob's by the Bay and are bartenders for my daughter's christening. No gift needed, and you can drink as much as you want. You two bartend.
I would weigh that option. I would weigh that option.
Yeah, I mean, I would need a Bob's Bar shirt, first of all.
We have those.
I know. I would need one of those. But this feels like a bonus loss we're taking here, D.A.
That's actually true. Yeah, we have to actually labor.
Right.
But you get to drink the beer.
Why can't we just be invited to the party as friends of Peyton?
Well, you may have been making cool a list uncles. Anyway, but now you wanted to be smart, Alex, about it. So I'm trying to get some free labor out of it, too.
Here's the bit. We just get Bayou Bear real hungry, and we plant these 10 cases of beer in front of him and just say, brother, we'll buy you tacos. You just do work here. And we watch him. We watch him drain 150 beers.
Like Newman with the muffin tops and milk.
We could just pour them all into a bucket, D.A. Give him a straw and see what happens.
This is facts.
We should just empty all these cases into a kiddie pool, give him a pitcher, and you just get to keep dunking the pitcher and drinking the beer out of it.
I'm picturing Barney in The Simpsons.
You know, we've done stunt to a news where somebody paid like a debt in pennies on someone's driveway. What is the pettiest way I could repay 125 beers?
If you gave Mraz one beer a day up until this christening.
That would be so annoying.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
All loose beers. I got a stack of
random ones too.
That's probably about 120 days or so once it's coming up in May.
Yeah.
So 4 months or so, 5 months. So you could basically pay a beer a day at work. Here's one Bud Light.
That would be so annoying.
Here's one Kona. All right, AB has our headlines. Congratulations to Mraz collecting all of the brouhahas, the inaugural competition. I think it's going to come back next year. That was a lot of fun, a lot of stress, a lot of good eating in this one. So that was great to have on the show for the first time.
And DA, the PGP coming out after the show, me and Bogus discussed potential rule tweaks to next year's brouhaha.
Perfect. And the competition committee speaks.
Before we leave, I've got one historical question, so I know just how bad this loss is. I feel like, because this is going to be somewhere between like $250 and $300, I think, of me having to pay off all this beer. Is this now the most expensive lost bet in show history? Because we cannot put a price tag on the dignity and the shame that Sean doesn't have, that he keeps losing in all of these embarrassing bets. So monetarily, is this the worst hit anyone's taken on the show?
I don't think you'll be at $300, because if you just buy cases of beer, really these should be dollar beers.
No, I can't buy. I got to buy him real beers. If he wants Kona, I'm going to buy him Konas.
Yeah, but okay. But he can't get all Konas, right? He
said no. It's going to be like some domestics. Bud Light, maybe some Heineken Light.
Bud Light comes in, and okay, Heineken Light might be a little bit more. But so you mean 120 beers?
Again, it's for a party. Beers. Yeah,
yeah. So 200,
maybe $200. Yeah, maybe $200. Yeah, that certainly would be the most expensive bet loss in show history.
All right.
I don't think there's even a close second.
Snooze, you lose.
I mean, I think the closest second is that I was out because I bought the Progresso clam chowder for Mraz. And the dodgeballs. So I think I was out like $30, even though I won the bet.
That's good. So I'm the Babe Ruth of lost bets.
I had to buy a new kiddie pool after the dead mouse was found in the clam chowder.
Other teams hit 8 home runs as a team. He hit 35-40, and here's me, 0-200 bucks. Anyway, all because Georgia won its first football title since 1980 last night. The victory sealed with Kaylee Ringo's 79-yard pick six in the final minute. Head coach Kirby Smart felt good with the ball in the air.
All we've done this year is throw balls to our DBs. We've thrown millions of balls because of playing the ball in the air, and when that ball was in the air, I said, he's going to catch this thing. We're going to win this game.
But
that sad thing is I was screaming to get down, and that was the wrong play there.
Yeah, Ringo kept running, scored the final point to the 33-18 victory over Alabama in Indy. Georgia took the lead for good on a pair of Stetson Bennett TD throws earlier in the final period. Bama led for most of the night, but that lead not too large because they kept kicking field goals, as Chip Patterson laid out earlier this hour. It also didn't help that the Tide lost wideout Jamison Williams in the second quarter to a left knee injury. Another round of CFP committee meetings ended yesterday without an expansion agreement, and it does not sound like they're making any progress on 8 or 12 teams, but there are more talks in a few weeks. The Chicago Bears reportedly adding Bucks defensive coordinator Todd Bowles and Packers OC Nathaniel Hackett to their list of candidates to replace Matt Nagy. Bowles has already interviewed for the Jags job. Hackett also linked to Jacksonville and to Denver. The Broncos also interested in Eric Bieniemy, Eagles DC, Jonathan Gannon, and many others. The Nets said Kyrie Irving again last night. The Blazers still without the injured Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Portland won.
Simons will get it in from the baseline. Looks in the corner for McLemore. He dribbles left, gives it to Nurk. Back to McLemore for three. Got it! And that should ice this game. Blazers by 8 with 31 seconds left. And the Nets will take their final timeout.
Travis Demers, Blazers radio. Ben McLemore scored 20. 23 and 11 assists for Anthony Simons in the 114-108 final. Kyrie scored 22 in 40 minutes. The Sixers down the Rockets 111-91 for a 7-game win streak. The Celtics outlasted the Pacers 101-98 in OT. And the Hornets fought off the Bucks 103-99. And the day after being reissued a visa, Novak Djokovic practicing today at the Aussie Open site. The government, though, may still rescind that visa since Djokovic is not vaccinated. And now, we stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
As promised earlier this morning, no harlots farting into jars today. Just one of the largest paleontological discoveries in UK history. Really? Workers were doing landscape work at the Rutland Water Nature Reserve last February when they came across an odd-looking rock under the ground. It looked organic. It looked like a jawbone. So they called the city council, which said, "We don't have a dinosaur department. We'll get back to you." Wow. Eventually, a team of paleontologists arrived and began excavating the site. The landscapers had come across an ichthyosaurus, a dolphin-like, warm-blooded, air-breathing sea predator.
Wow.
Not technically a dinosaur, but still a pretty cool find. These things lived 90 to 250 million years ago, and this fossil is nearly intact, 10 meters long, which is why it's one of the best finds of this kind in UK history.
So technically not a dinosaur because it was warm-blooded?
I guess, yes.
Not a reptile.
Scientifically, it's not a dinosaur.
Wow. This is really cool. So they were just doing landscaping and they found a freaking full ichthyosaurus?
Yeah, full, like, and the picture that I included for you guys, there's a guy laying next to it and it's like three times the size of a human. It's insane.
I think longer. I think it might be five times the size of a human being.
That's unbelievable. So do you think there were, like, humans around that time that could have gotten eaten by something like this?
I don't think there are humans 250 million years ago.
Well, it's 90 million years ago.
Well, if this was at the era of the dinosaurs, there are no human beings during dinosaur land. This is a common misperception. There are no cavemen during dinosaurs. Those are two totally different periods. No human being ever actually saw or lived next to a
Which is dinosaur. Why The Flintstones is not a true story.
That is correct. It is not a documentary. The Flintstones is not a true story.
Yeah, the earliest thought human is 2.4 million to 1.4 million years ago.
Wow. Think about that. 2 million years ago was the first human. We're talking about an ichthyosaurus from 200 million years ago.
Wow. Wow.
Is that not mind-blowing? Like, the length of time, if you ever see a graph or a timeline of human existence alongside, you know, the Ice Age or dinosaurs or the old little mold and fungi that were before dinosaurs, you're like, we are so recent as a species.
It's mind-blowing. So this dolphin, what are we calling it? The
Ichthyosaurus.
Ichthyosaurus would have been probably a lot of room to swim. This probably would have been during like the Panamanopeia times, right? When everything was together.
Panamanopeia?
What do you call it?
Pangaea?
Pangaea, where the continents fit like puzzle pieces. They probably had so much more water to swim with.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Is there more ocean during Pangaea because all of the land is locked together? Or is it actually the same amount of ocean? It's just that the land is,
you know,
in different spots.
It might be, but I'm just talking about more open waters. You know what I mean? So they could get to weird places. But the UK would have been in the middle of the, what'd you call it? The Pangaea?
Pangaea.
It would have been right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it would have got there.
Yeah.
I mean, they should look into that.
I guess maybe the UK underwater, Mraz.
The English Channel or something. Yeah. Okay.
Underwater?
It might have been two layers, Mraz.
Who knows? But I don't know. I find this stuff mind-blowing.
You didn't know it is. Actually is. And that is Stunned to a News. It is also a Trash Tuesday, so bring us your trashes. Daryl tweets, "I'm trashing myself for falling asleep on the couch instead of my bed. Hashtag Trash Tuesday."
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Lewis in Palmdale is trashing people who need to upgrade their cell phone or computer because it's too slow. only to bog it down immediately with a four-hour data transfer, then complain about it. Trash Tuesday.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Ryan tweets, I'm trashing technology for 15 seconds this morning, DA. You sounded like you were using Schwartz's special voice disguising button. Trash it.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Thomas tweets, I'm trashing CBS Sports Radio's promos who are still telling me to listen to Tiki and Tierney for strong opinions.
I mean, you're lucky you're not getting a Feinstein or a TBD in the morning promo still. Count your blessings, and that's almost correct.
Overflowing landfill.
It's Scott Farrell. Nights. Followed by the DA show. Overnights. Listen to CBS Sports Radio.
Chris Moore. Brian Jones.
Listen to any one of the six morning shows we've ever had here on the network.
It's Tom Tolbert with his CBS Sports Minute.
Wow, great pull. How long did Tolbert do those minutes for? Six months?
3 weeks, months? I think it was.
6 weeks.
The only one here shorter was our good buddy Brandon Cristal. I feel like he was out in like 17 days.
Yeah, Tolbert did him long enough to almost get me fired for being a minute late to his.
Sheps had a column longer than BK was doing sports minutes.
Jack Stern wasn't born yet when Tolbert was still doing the minutes.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Kyle in Arizona, not a fan of bums with babies. Here's your fail. Kyle's in Arizona this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, DA?
I'm good, my man. How you doing?
Can I throw a trash out there?
Yeah, it's Trash Tuesday. What do you got to trash?
Can I trash the bums in Phoenix? I took my son to the Miami Heat Suns game, and then the bums came out in trolls.
What?
Everyone's got a car seat. I got a baby. Can I have some money? I'm like,
feed them.
They're babies.
Well, maybe feed them during halftime.
What are you teaching babies about basketball?
Well, why does it always have to be a thing? What?
Sure, here's $5. Okay, I've got this baby. Can I get some more?
Ooh, yeah, mama.
Like, man, this is just irresponsible out here.
Oh, I thought you meant bums like fans and attendants at the game. You're talking about people that were asking for money outside the arena and they had baby car seats?
Gimme goo 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 gaga.
These people must have borrowed a baby from someone.
But I was a baby.
Just to drive around and say, hey, look, they open the back door and go, I have a baby, can I have some money?
Wait a second. So these people were asking for money and they had cars and they were able to drive their cars? So they got enough cash for the cars?
Yeah, they pull up to us at gas stations. When we're getting gas, they pull up and open up the back seat and like, look, I have a baby, can I have some money?
This might be the cutest baby crawl race we've ever witnessed here at the Smoothie King Center.
What?
And you have to because it's a baby.
It's a baby, so of course you can have some money.
Ridiculous. I think it's totally ridiculous.
You don't think the babies are happy?
They're not happy at all. They don't know where they are.
So you gave them $5.
$5.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Trash them all.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I think the entire world should be for babies, but it's not my fault.
Your analytics today revolves around Pete's trash because Pete went to the cell phone store and spent 4 hours in there as they transferred his data. Why does it take so long to transfer your data to a new phone? 61% of you say the technology is outdated. 27% say it's to get you to spend more. And 11% say it's because the staff is Laz, which is perfect that Mraz forgot the why on lazy on the poll question.
Oh, no!
By virtue of Mraz perhaps being lazy, we forgot to put the why on lazy. By the way, what makes AutoZone's America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. They've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti, on the wheels of steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.